Vayehi mikets shenasayim yamim ufaro cholem vihine omeid al hayor. And it came to pass after 2 years that Paro dreamt, and in the dream he was standing on the Nile. Dot, dot, dot. Bayom hashvi'i nasi lifnei Ephraim Elishama ben Amihud. And on the seventh day of the dedication of the Mishkan, the tribal leader of Ephraim brought his offerings, his name Elishama ben Amihud. Dot, dot, dot. Rani v'simchi bas tzion ki hineni va v'shachanti b'sochech ne'um Adonai. Sing and be glad, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst. The word of Hashem. OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Miketz and Chanukah Part 2. Recording and first availability, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the fifth candle of Chanukah, the fifth day of Chanukah. On the Jewish calendar, the 29th day of Kislev. And even though Kislev usually has 30 days, this year it doesn't. And therefore, its 29th is followed by the one day of Rosh Chodesh Tevet, which is tonight, tomorrow, Erev Shabbat Chanukah, the sixth candle. For your information, the sixth candle is always, always, always Rosh Chodesh. The seventh candle sometimes is and sometimes isn't, and it all depends on the status of Kislev and the number of days it has. All of the above, the 29th of Kislev, corresponds this year to the 29th of December, and today is the last day of 29 days that the secular calendar, the general calendar, the civil calendar, whatever you want to call it, matched the Jewish calendar as far as the number of the days of the month. And that's it for a bunch more time. Okay, you heard in the beginning the first verse of Parshat HaShavua, which is Miketz. You heard the first verse of the Maftir for the seventh day of Chanukah, which is this Shabbat. And you heard the first pasuk of the Haftarah, which is the Haftarah of Shabbat Chanukah, which preempts the weekly Haftorah of Miketz. And reading for the seventh day of Chanukah is from a second Torah, not from Bereshit, where we find Miketz, but from Bamidbar, Parshat Naso, Perek Zayin, which is the longest Perek in the Torah. It is not the longest Perek in Tanakh, but it is the longest Perek in the Torah. And that's that. The music you heard at the beginning was less popular Chanukah song, just to give us that flavor. Hopefully we'll have time to play more music during the show. So let us now say Tehillim, Kuf Kaf Aleph, Psalm 121, which is the psalm that I use on the show when we don't say Tachanun, as we do not say the entire Chanukah. We have Hallel, we have no Tachanun, no Lam Natseach, and we on the show, instead of Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130, we say Psalm 121. Shir lama alot, esa enai el haharim, me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai, osei shamayim va'oretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha, al yanum shomerecha. Hine lo yanum velo yishan, shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilecha, al yad yiminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka, v'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha me'ata v'yad olam. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanatunim batara uvashivya ha'omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha ha'makom yirachem aleihem v'yotziyem mitzara lirvacha u'me'afela la'ora u'mishibud la'geula. Hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar. Amen. I don't usually translate it into English, but maybe I should every so often. As for our brothers of the whole house of Israel, who are in distress or captivity on sea or land, may the All-Present have compassion on them and lead them from distress to relief, from darkness to light, and from oppression to freedom, now, swiftly, and soon, and let us say Amen. For a number of years now, I've been, bothered, maybe that's not the right word, by the element of the Hanukkah story that we don't focus on, that we make only a very, very vague reference to, and yet it's not possible to avoid that factor into the whole picture of Hanukkah. And I spoke about it last week, and the fact that Parshat Vayeshev brought us into Hanukkah, and it has the friction and the enmity between Yosef's brothers and Yosef. And I have to say it that way, because I don't know if he held them in the same contempt that they held him, but it represented a split among the children of Israel when it's in its super infancy. And then we have the Hanukkah, and part of the Hanukkah story is not only the Jews fighting against the Greeks, but also the, let's call them, for lack of a better label, the Torah true Jews, who fought against the assimilated Jews, who were referred to as mityavnim, those who accepted the Greek culture, and unfortunately at the expense of their Judaism. So if we were to modernize this, we would have an echo of it either in the religious, non-religious conflicts, or the Orthodox versus the other, what are referred to as streams of Judaism, which I have a lot to say about, but maybe not now. And certainly the secular Jews and the assimilated Jews who barely know they're Jewish. And that became part of the Hanukkah story because the Jews were not just fighting against the Greeks, they were fighting against Greek culture that had eaten into the Jewish people as a cancer. And it was something akin to a civil war. So Chazal, our sages, were wise enough not to dwell on it, sort of would spoil the story and spoil the joy which we have for Hanukkah, but you can't avoid it. Now, that's been years that I've been thinking in that direction and talking about it and writing about it. And this year, something hit me. I know, you know, if you're regular listeners, that I love statistics and I love the Jewish calendar. Let me make a comment, anecdotal for me, that my real interest in the calendar peaked many years ago when I had first acquired a TRS-80 computer and learned how to program in BASIC and was able to write programs to answer questions that I had. And the very first question was, what is the rarest Haftorah? So what popped into my mind at the time was the second Shabbat Chanukah. When Chanukah does not start on Shabbat, there's only one Shabbat, and the Haftorah is, as I read the first verse, Rani v'Simchi, which is also the Haftorah of Be'alotcha, and that's the Shabbat Chanukah Haftorah. When there are two Shabbatot Chanukah, because Chanukah begins on Friday night Shabbat, so the first day and the last day are Chanukah, are Shabbat, then there's a second Haftorah for the second Shabbat. The first Haftorah is Rani v'Simchi, as every year. But the second one is kind of a rare Haftorah. And statistically, we're talking about 18% of the time. So that's not very rare, but it's certainly a minority of years. Turns out that I subsequently, shortly thereafter, found a rarer Haftorah, and that's the regular Haftorah of Miketz. Every Parsha HaShavua has an assigned Haftorah, and Miketz is hardly read. Miketz is read when Miketz is not Shabbos Chanukah, which happens approximately 10.5% of the time. So that's significantly less frequent than the 18 plus something percent for a second Shabbos Chanukah. And I now had a candidate for an even rarer Haftorah, the regular Haftorah of Miketz. Then I looked at the regular Haftorah of Miketz, which we don't read 90% of the time, and I was sort of surprised to find that it contains one of the most famous stories from all of Tanakh, and that is the story of Shlomo HaMelech and the two babies. And it's a parable for the kingdom, which was split into Judah and Israel, with Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Ephraim taking the leads, and whatever. That's not the point. The point is that we hardly ever read it. And for such a famous story, it sort of was surprising. In any event, I found a rarer Haftorah, one that actually is not never read. It's on the books, but it never gets read, but we'll discuss that some other time. In any event, the calendar works as follows. Vayeshev and Miketz are the two sedras that can be on Chanukah. Miketz, I already told you, is 90% of the time, of which part of that time it shares the honors with Vayeshev, as I said, in the 18% of the time, when Shabbat to Shabbat, Chanukah runs from Shabbos to Shabbos, then you will have two Shabbat Chanukahs, and Vayeshev will be Shabbat Chanukah, and so will Miketz. The other situation is when Chanukah begins on a Thursday night, Friday. Then Miketz ends up being the day after Chanukah. The only Shabbat Chanukah in that year is Vayeshev. Bottom line, and I get carried away with statistics just to make the point, actually just to play with the numbers, the bottom line is that the two sedras that are Chanukah in their essence are Vayeshev and Miketz. And as depressing as Vayeshev is, how can the brothers have done that to their brother? How could their father favor him in such a way that it created hatred in the eyes of the brothers? That's Vayeshev, kind of gloomy. And then we get to Miketz, and somehow we begin to feel a lightening of that sad feeling, and the brothers are definitely on the path of reconciliation. Not there yet. Miketz has one of the two big cliffhangers in the Torah, where Yosef had framed Binyamin for stealing his silver chalice. And when it was discovered in Binyamin's sack, the brothers offered that they should all become slaves to Yosef or to Paro. And Yosef said, "Nah, I wouldn't do that. I'll just take the culprit." And that's where the Sedra ends. Are the brothers going to go back to Yaakov for the sob story, true this time, that they couldn't save their little brother Binyamin? And sorry, Dad, but these things happen. Or are they going to fight for him? Or what? And it's really at the end of Miketz. Stay tuned. Same station, same time, next week for Parshat Vayigash, and you'll see what happens. But as I say, and my point here is exclusively that Miketz is a little bit lighter than Vayeshev on the score of the enmity among the brothers, and it sort of gives you a little sense of hope. We'll continue in a moment after another Hanukkah selection. Hanukkah songs come in two forms. One are specific Hanukkah songs, Ma'os Tzur, Harnerot Halalu, Kad Katan, Sivivon, Sov, Sov, Sov. And then there's our songs from Hallel. And Hallel is a major feature of Hanukkah. It is said on all 8 days of Hanukkah, full Hallel. And it matches Sukkot, it outdoes Pesach and Shavuot, and Yom HaTzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim, because it's 8 full days of Hallel. And yet, when you take a look in Hallel, you'll see that it's not just singing praises of God. It recognizes that when we have something to sing to God in thanks to Him, we also need to remember the troubles that we were in that he saved us from. So it adds a little bit of a somber, melancholy reminder. The passage from Hallel that Afafuni comes from is called Ahavti Ki Yishma Hashem Et Koli Tachanunai. I love God, for he hears my voice, my pleas. He turns his ear to me whenever I call. Afafuni chavle mavet, the bonds of death encompassed me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of Hashem. Hashem, I pray, save my life. Gracious is Hashem and righteous, and God is full of compassion. Hashem protects the simple-hearted. When I was brought low, he saved me. My soul be at peace once more. For Hashem, for God, has been good to you. For you have rescued me from death, my eyes from weeping, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk in the presence of God in the land of the living. I had faith, even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. Even when I said rashly, all men are liars. Does not really sound like a song of praise. But remember that it's important for us to realize that every time we say, thank you, God, for saving us, you have to say, well, wait a minute. What happened that we needed to be saved? And sometimes there's a very, very bleak picture of what happened. And I think this is reflected in some of Hallel. In any event, here's the song. Then we'll talk more about Hanukkah and maybe a little bit of Miketz thrown in. Up the lead tidbit from this week's Torah Tidbits. It happens often that when I write, because I have restriction as to space, I don't say everything that I would like to. And because I have opportunities throughout the week of giving shiurim or giving divrei Torah, I get the opportunity to sort of flesh out or finish up the lead tidbit. I wrote there about what we get excited about Hanukkah. And there are a lot of different things, but I specifically focused on the fact that tonight, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. And I said, hey, Rosh Chodesh was one of the main targets of Greek oppression. They banned the Jewish people with their Sanhedrin from having their own calendar and from declaring Rosh Chodesh. And we have Rosh Chodesh every single month. And the Greeks who decreed against our having Rosh Chodesh are not around. There are almost 11 million people who live in the country called Greece, and they are called Greeks, but they're not the Greeks that we're talking about, the Hellenists. We are talking about a victory over oppressors, because we have Rosh Chodesh, and we should be excited about Rosh Chodesh because of that. And we should be excited about Rosh Chodesh Tevet, which always happens during Chanukah, all the more so. And a similar thing goes for Shabbat, and a similar thing goes for Brit Milah, but let me tell you what I wanted to start with, which I didn't. My mother-in-law, Aleha HaShalom, known affectionately to my daughters as Nana, went through a number of concentration camps, survived the Shoah, having lost a husband and a daughter, remarried, and had a new family, a daughter, my wife, their three children, our three children, daughters, and even though she wasn't around to see it, the next generation, which is so far 8 grandsons and 3 princesses, as I like to say. And my mother-in-law was a very soft-spoken woman. She had her health really badly messed up as a result of her experiences in the Shoah, but managed to survive more years after the Holocaust than she had lived until the Holocaust. She told me once, in an atypical display of passion, she said the Nazis didn't want her to live, and she did. They didn't want her to have children, and she did. They didn't want her to have grandchildren, and she did. Every day I am alive, she told me, is my personal victory over the Nazis, because they're not around, but I am. And that's what I'm thinking in terms of Hanukkah. Shabbat. I said this 2 weeks ago at the Shabbaton we had. The fact that 50 plus people can get together and daven and eat and have Divrei Torah and Shiurim and spend the whole time observing Shabbat and its beauties is a victory of the Hanukkah story over the Yevanim. Because if they didn't want us to do these things, and they're not around, and we are, and we do these things. I feel very, very strongly about this point, and it's sort of my new thinking of the year. I, by the way, have this thing every time coming around to holidays. I speak about them and write about them, and I try not to be stale, to have something that refreshes, so I don't ever have to say, been there, did it. Because however I did Hanukkah last year, this year, it's deeper and more meaningful. And I hope to continue adding that for a long time. Okay, some practical stuff about Hanukkah. Tomorrow, Friday, towards evening, before Shabbat begins. We have the weekly Hanukkah Shabbos candles to light, and we have the annual Hanukkah candles to light, which goes first. This is almost, not quite, but almost a no-brainer. And it really is almost, because there is a lot of argument the other way. But the conclusion seems to be fairly widespread. I was going to say universal, but nothing probably is. That you light Hanukkah candles first and then Shabbat candles. And part of the reason is that Shabbat candles, for many women of the Ashkenazi world, begins Shabbat, which would make lighting candles thereafter not possible. But then you ask, wait a minute, let's say we have a typical home situation, family, father, mother, five children. The five children all light their own Chanukiah. The father lights a Chanukiah. And the mother does not, but she lights Shabbos candles. What would be wrong if she would light Shabbos candles at the proper time, and later, definitely before the onset of Shabbat, but closer to sunset, the husband slash father and the children, who have not accepted Shabbat, even if the wife has, would light Hanukkah candles? Furthermore, even a woman lighting on her own can still make a tenai, a condition, a mental reservation, that she is lighting Shabbos candles according to the mitzvah of Shabbat candles, but she's not yet accepting the sanctity of Shabbat upon herself. That's doable. Then she would be able to light Hanukkah candles afterwards. Now, what I'm going to say now is not the reason, but I believe that it is a strong example of why things ended up the way they are. Picture the following. A woman living alone is got the Chanukiah on the windowsill, ready to light. She knows that she lights Hanukkah candles first and then Shabbat candles, and she's busy preparing. She's having company for dinner. Her children and grandchildren are walking in, and she's pressured and rushed and taking care of this and taking care of that. And when the time for Shabbat candles comes, she lights the Shabbat candles, does not make a condition. And by the act of lighting the Shabbos candles, she has accepted upon herself the Shabbat. Still light outside, sun is still shining low in the sky, but for her, it is Shabbat. As soon as she finishes lighting, she notices her loaded Chanukiah sitting on the windowsill waiting to be lit. And she goes into a panic. How can I not light when I have people coming? What are they going to think of the Chanukiah just sitting there filled with candles and not burning? And after all, it's still light out, so it really isn't Shabbos yet. But for her it is. But she would say that or think that. And she would quickly light Hanukkah candles in violation for her of Shabbat. Now, this is kind of a rare occurrence, and yet not only halakha, Jewish law, but Jewish practical practice is often made up of taking something like I just described into account. We don't want to mess with Shabbos. And this is a situation where a woman might justify herself or might legitimately or not realistically think that she's allowed to do that because it's a big mitzvah. How can you not do that? And therefore, the rule across the board even when the same people are not lighting Shabbos candles and Hanukkah candles, even when men do not accept Shabbat when the candles are lit, Shabbos candles are lit, the rule became, in most communities, Hanukkah candles first, then Shabbat candles. In Jerusalem, there is one concession towards the idea that it is proper, or not proper, ideal, to light Hanukkah candles a little bit later, a little bit closer to sunset. This has a couple of advantages, one of which is they're still going to have to burn until a certain time after dark. The earlier you light, the more they have to burn, and sometimes candles don't make it all the way, and even the little oil cups don't, and you need extra oil, or you need bigger candles. And the concession in Jerusalem, where this week we have a candle lighting at 4:10, which is 40 minutes before sunset. So the prevalent practice in Yerushalayim, in the Ashkenazi community, is to allow a postponement of the Shabbos candles for 20 minutes. Now we're talking 4:30, like much of the rest of the country. And that will allow Hanukkah candles shortly before Shabbos candles, but not as early as 4 o'clock. Now we're talking already 4:25. So that's about it. A reminder, we spoke about it last week, we're coming up with it again, a Motzoi Shabbat, that is the last night of Hanukkah, and ideally, but it's very difficult unless you have double Chanukiyot, ideally the candles should be set and ready to go the moment Shabbat is over, without any undue delay. And if you're talking about oil, and you're just going to first put the oil in the cups and the wicks in the oil, you need to leave time for the oil to soak into the wicks. Otherwise, they won't burn nicely, and that's going to be a problem. It's going to delay candle lighting. If you have the ability to have a duplicate set of Chanukian candles ready to go on Friday for Motzoi Shabbat for Saturday night, so that after Shabbat, there's no undue delay in fulfilling the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles. And according to many, not majority, but many, Hanukkah candles even go before Havdalah, provided Shabbat is absolutely, truly over. You cannot play with Shabbat. But at 5:26, is it? Let's see. Here is Vayeshev. No, I need Miketz. Here is Miketz. And 5:26. 5:26, Shabbos is over. If you have a mire of 10 minutes or 15 minutes before that, it's okay. And you're ready to roll as soon as Shabbat is over with the candles that have already been set up. Okay. That's the practical side. Let's have another song in honor of Hanukkah. This is also in honor of Rosh Chodesh because it's from Hallel, the opening words of the first passage of Hallel, Hallelujah Tashem, praise God, which is the essence of the mitzvah of Hallel. And with that, we will conclude this week's Torah Tidbits audio. But I will greet you right after the song. Hallelujah Tashem. Oh,
Luet Hashem Kol Goyim Sham Bechuv Sham Bechuv Kol Lovim Sham Bechuv Sham Bechuv Kol Lovim Al Luet Hashem Kol Goyim Sham Bechuv Sham Bechuv Kol Lovim
And on that note, I wish you Chanukah Sameach, Chodesh Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Lehishtameah.